Just to add a few verses to the reading, if we go back to John 21, it says this from verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Well, we've made a few mistakes this morning, haven't we? Nod your head. Just want to make sure you're still awake. Is that all right? Good. It's a well-known saying which says, a man who never made a mistake never made anything. The counterpoint joke to that is, behind every successful man is an amazed woman. However, there's one man who never made a mistake. Perfect in everything. Jesus. Very God, yet very man. Incredible. There's an acronym that's been around a few years, particularly in education circles, and it's F-A-I-L. Fail. I know Claire know what it is. Anybody else know what the acronym stands for? F-A-I-L. First attempt in learning. First attempt in learning. There you go. Something new that you've learned that didn't go home and say, I know what fail is. First attempt in learning. And of course, there's two main assumptions in that acronym, isn't there? First of all, the first assumption is you've got to try again because you've got to learn about it, haven't you? So if at first you don't succeed,
try again.
Cool, lads. I'm just making sure you're aware. If at first you don't succeed,
try again.
Don't you? Good. And secondly, we should always be wise enough to take stock from our mistakes. Assess them. And particularly if we're Christian, then we should be thinking and considering what has gone wrong with the help of the Holy Spirit and with the guidance of God's Word. So that we don't, by His grace, make the same mistake. Or if we do, we don't make it as bad. Isn't this severe, perhaps? We should seek the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to try and avoid repeating the same error. So on to our friend today, Peter. Peter's a good chap, isn't he, really? Salt of the earth sort of chap. What you see is what you get type of person. He was quick to follow the Lord, wasn't he? And I guess along with James and John, there's quite a dynamic driving force. When you look at the scriptures, you often see Peter, James and John sort of going for it. So he was really energetic, really energised in Jesus' group of disciples. And yet, for all of his oomph, if I can put it that way, anybody know how you spell oomph? Just making sure that you're awake. For all his oomph and desire, which was often in the right place, he wasn't perfect. A bit like all of us. Not perfect. We've already thought about that this morning. Thankfully, though, like us, he did have a perfect Saviour. That's the big thing. Peter had a perfect Saviour, Jesus. As we've heard, the Good Shepherd. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. To lead us in paths of righteousness. So we're going to look at three instances. He says, pick up four fingers. Three instances. This morning in Peter's life, different instances, which will perhaps just give us an idea of where the Lord directs us and how he restores us. Because the passage that I've just read, just as I stood up there, was about the Lord restoring Peter, bringing him back. Bring him back to where he should be. Because sometimes we do fail. But it doesn't mean to say that we've failed. It just means to say that we need to go back to the Lord for his help. So firstly, a very well-known chapter. Now, this would be great in our house. Matthew 14, the Lord feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. Now, I can tell you our food bill, you wouldn't believe it. So that would be a great miracle in our house if we could keep the food bill down. But 5,000 people, plus women, plus children, were fed. And then immediately after that, incredible demonstration of the Lord's power, he tells the disciples to get into a boat and go ahead of him. He dismisses the crowd. What does Jesus do? He goes to pray. That's important, isn't it? When something incredible has happened, make sure we continue to be in communion with God the Father. So even Jesus went to pray. And meanwhile, what happens? You know it well. The disciples get in the boat, and there's an incredible furious squall buffets them. Wind waves right through the night. And when it comes to the morning, the storm's no better. Can you imagine? This is why I don't travel by boat. You're like, the waves are up here. The wind's blowing you everywhere. You're wondering if you're going to get across to this side. Well, this is what the disciples were fearing. It was terrible. It was terrible. And then Jesus came walking on the water. And Peter, he's the one that shouts out and he says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Tell me to come to you." What happened next? Well, we know what happened next. The Lord called him. Peter got out of the boat. That's incredible, that, isn't it? That's an act of faith. Hands up if you get out of the boat when there's a storm outside. Not sure how. Well, Peter did, though. Peter did. And he started to walk. But then what happened? Well, he looked around at the waves and the wind and he started to sink. And he cried out to the Lord and Jesus caught him by the hand, got into the boat. So, the few thoughts from that particular section from Peter. First of all, look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. Look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. The problem was, he stopped looking to Jesus, didn't he? Peter stopped looking to Jesus. So if life feels like a tumultuous storm around you, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. And then, faith is often about taking the next step or the first step. We already said it. He was getting out of the boat. That showed faith, didn't it? But Peter's problem was, he got out of the boat, he took the first step, but then he lost sight of the next step in faith. And he got into trouble when his next step wasn't towards Jesus. And that's important. You might take the first step, but make sure we're always stepping towards Jesus in faith. Because fear can sink us. Peter had the problem. His faith sank and so did his feet. That was the problem, wasn't it? As soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, as soon as the next step wasn't towards Jesus, he starts to sink. We've got to make sure that we aren't gripped by concerns and fears, because that can constrain our faith. So if there's anything that's concerning you or I, what does the word say? Cast all your cares on him, because he cares for us. The good shepherd. Two different accounts really, but it's the same message. The good shepherd cares for each one of us. He loves us. But be encouraged. In that passage, which obviously we haven't read, about Peter walking on the water with Jesus, Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith." But he had faith. He had little faith. He had some faith. Better have faith, even if it's little, than none at all. He stepped out of the boat, didn't he? He stepped out of the boat. He had some faith. You see, that infers that Peter was capable of greater faith, of more faith, of increased faith. There was faith there, so it could be increased. Well, that's something that we should aspire to, isn't it? Even if we've got a little bit of faith, let's try and increase it each day. Be closer to the Lord. And let's step out. Let's be active in our faith too. And Jesus saves us from many things. What happened when Peter cried out? Jesus saved him. Jesus saves us from the uttermost awfulness of sin and death and hell. But he saves us in every day. And sometimes we don't even know about it. It's incredible that. The Lord cares for us so much that sometimes we don't even know about the situations that he saves us from. So that was a few thoughts from that first section. Then the next section, just a couple of chapters on Matthew 16. And this is an incredible chapter where Peter is completely inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they've got, wow, stacked. Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, da, 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 da. And then Jesus comes out with a question, right in the heart, but who do you say that I am? That's a question for all of us, isn't it? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Wow! I wonder if he's getting a pat on the back from all the other 11 disciples at that point. That was inspired, wasn't it? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's amazing. I wonder how Peter felt. And yet, just a few verses down from that, in Matthew 16, amazingly, Peter goes from that wonderful inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus is telling his disciples how he must suffer and die. And Peter says this in verses 22 and 23. Peter took him, that is Jesus, aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This will never happen to you. He's talking about his suffering and death. This will never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. He went from up here to a metaphorical kick in the teeth. I said, what can I say? Well, this is what we can learn from that. First of all, and I've already inferred this, it's not what other people say about Jesus. It's what you know to be true about Jesus. We can't somehow have imputed second-hand faith. We need to know Jesus for ourselves. Who do you say that he is? Secondly, fantastic. Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Brilliant. Be inspired. Be inspired by the Holy Spirit. The verse for this year, Zechariah. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. My Spirit, says the Lord. God can do amazing things, even through us. How do you fancy being amazing? Well, you can be amazed at what God can do in you. I'm not saying that, and please don't take this the wrong way, that you're amazing. You are, because you're a new creation. What I'm saying is that God can do amazing things through you, when we're guided by him through the Spirit. But, and this is where Peter went wrong, once we're moved by the Spirit, let's continue to be moved by the Spirit. Let's make sure that we continue in that same rightness, if I put that way, with God. You know, when Peter drew Jesus aside and said, never, this will never happen to you, Lord, he was sincere. But you can be sincerely wrong. You can be sincerely wrong. And the difference was, in his first exclamation, he was moved by the Spirit. In the second exclamation, he was sincerely wrong, and moved by, as Jesus said, the concerns of men, human concerns, not the things of God. Let's make sure that we are moved by the Spirit constantly. But notice, if you read from chapter 16, that Jesus' response was direct. It was direct, as we've just thought there, but Jesus also gave a clear indicator that we must have in mind the things of God, how important that is. In Galatians 5:16, this is the Amplified version, for me, from the heart of understanding. The Amplified version says this, 5:16, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek him and be responsive to his guidance. That's important, isn't it? Be responsive to his guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desires of sinful nature. Only last Sunday, Pastor Hayden was talking about inviting Holy Spirit to be with us in each of the facets of our life, keep in step with the Spirit. And finally, from that section, Jesus, interesting way to put it, Jesus didn't beat Peter with a metaphorical stick. What do I mean by that? Well, he told him he was wrong, but what happened after that? Jesus talked about priorities in life and getting them right. And then if we read further on, it says, and it's an example of Jesus' forgiveness and restoration, if you like, and encouragement Peter is one of only three disciples who's taken to the mountain and witnessed Jesus' transfiguration. He was forgiven. He was restored. He was put in that right place. One more, which is from our passage that we read this morning about Peter. You recall that just before then, again to give a bit of context, when Jesus was going to be betrayed and arrested on that night, he stated to his disciples that they were all going to fall away. What a sad situation. And then Peter rushing in where angels fear to tread, Peter rushed in and said, along the lines of, I'll never do that. Even if everybody does that, I'll never fall away. I'll always be there by your side. But what happened? Jesus predicted that before the cock crowed, he'd deny him. Deny Jesus. Deny that he ever knew him. Ever was with him 3 times. And sure enough, that's what happened. And Peter went out and wept bitterly when he remembered Jesus' words. Regret's a terrible thing, isn't it? But you know, if we come to the Lord, you get take away that regret because we're restored in the right place. Let's consider the final situation this morning. Peter is on the beach. We've gone through, you know, it's the Lord. Peter jumps out of the boat, gets to the beach, and quite incredible, they couldn't catch a fish all night, and Jesus got a fish barbecue going on the shore. There we go. Gets there. He's eating fish with Jesus. See, the thing is that the Lord, our good shepherd, understands us. He knows us. Talks about in the Psalms about the Lord knows that we're but dust. He knows, he made us. He knows everything about us. I wrote in my heart, thank the Lord that he loves me, even though he knows all about me, even the bad things, even the things that aren't so great. But he loves me, isn't that great? He loves you too. He understands and he seeks to restore us to himself. Notice the important factor there that just as Peter denied Jesus 3 times, the Lord asks Peter 3 times, do you love me or do you love me more than these? It's the two phrases that he uses. First of all, one of 3 things, sometimes the Lord encourages us to look back in situations, not in self-pity, doesn't want us to be mired in self-pity, to look back in situations. Just as we thought at the beginning of what I was speaking about, really, so that we can consider them, evaluate them, examine ourselves, and learn that lesson. That's what he was doing with Peter. And when Peter stood up and said, never, Lord, he said it in his own strength. He said it in his own strength, again, out of step with the Spirit. And the question I would ask there is, what of eternal value can we give for ourselves? Even as Christians, if we rely on experience, the answer is very little. We need to rely completely on God, the Holy Spirit. This thought came to me as I was considering this morning, and this thought came to me, and I've written it down. Don't try to pick up manna from yesterday when the Lord wants to give you something new today. Let's pick up something new today. Because he's given it fresh every morning, new. And finally, acknowledge he knows best for us. Peter said it. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know all things. He knows. He knows. That's all that we say. He knows. And he still loves us. So finally, in closing, let's make sure our circumstances around us don't take our focus from the Lord, like the storm. That they don't reduce our faith in his ability to enable us. And if we do sometimes falter or fail, thank God that Jesus' response is immediate. Immediate is a cry out to him. He takes us by the hand. Let's make sure we continue to be focused on him, to look to him, to step out in faith in him. Let's make sure we're open to his restoring too, as he promises, just like Peter. One final verse, Paul says in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. May the Lord help us.